Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. I think we should begin with just a little note over the next 45 minutes or so.
Little apology.
There might be some shouting as the World Cup game, Canada and Bosnia Herzegovina is on, and we are watching, and we are watching the Canadian side like they have been before at World Cups, struggling to try to score a goal.
Still time.
Oh yeah, there's about 44 minutes of time to try to score here to even things up. So we'll keep you up to date on Canada's first match of the World Cup at Toronto Stadium as the crowd apparently is still in the beer line because there's barely anybody in the stands for the start of the second half.
Does look a little thin out there.
Looks like an Argo game. But let's begin the Green Zone on this Friday with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and the Hurricanes were all over them last night.
It's Jorgensen, stall!
Here's Andrei Svechnikov. Deep front, picked up by Svechnikov. Scores! Sebastian Aho, and it's a two-goal Carolina lead.
And they didn't blow it. For the first time in the series, the team got a two-goal lead and actually held on to the lead.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
4-2, Hurricanes beat Vegas. 3-2 is the series as the Hurricanes can close it out on Sunday in Las Vegas. You'll remember Carter Hart made history after Game 4 being the first goaltender to have four goals scored against him in the first four games of a Stanley Cup final. So he thought he just put a bigger cushion on that record. That's the fifth straight game for Carter Hart to allow four goals or more. His save percentage is not good.
Looks good on him.
Not good. 8.54.
How about Stahl?
Scored in every game in this series
so
far.
Another goal.
It's unbelievable. By the way, John Tortorella thinks it's the stupidest thing to question whether or not they should go to Aiden Hill in net. At all.
I hope he keeps Carter Hart in.
And he's leaving his luggage in the hotel.
Yeah. Wow, they can always ship it back to him. CFL, the Riders, what's going on? Was he mugged?
Well, the Canadian side had the ball, had possession. The goalie came out and made contact with the Canadian player. Now they're both hurt. So
the goalie looks like he's getting, like, medical attention here.
Yeah.
Okay.
They called out some medical attention on that one. I think it should be a penalty, but I'm Canadian, so why not?
That should be a penalty shot.
All right. We'll continue on with the starting lineup in the CFL. The Riders raising the Grey Cup banner tomorrow night at home against the Lions.
It's just that time of year. It's so exciting for everybody, coaches, players, everybody in the building. I think it's time to go.
So this is a rematch of last year's CFL West Final. The Saskatchewan Roughriders defeating the BC Lions by a score of 24-21. It's our time. Both teams start the season with a week one bye, so they're 0-0. The game features a 40-year-old Trevor Harris and a Nathan York voted the CFL's top player. Tailgating starts at noon. This is a pretty big deal. Yeah. Further down the road for all the home games, it's a five-hour window. 5 hours before the game, you can start taking in the tailgating spots. And the game starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Tonight in the CFL, we got the Toronto Argonauts and the Montreal Alouettes. That game starts at just after 5 o'clock. Is Dave there tonight? Is Naylor there?
I don't know where Dave is.
Yeah, we're not sure where Dave is, but he's on the show today.
He's on the show. He's
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in Montreal for that matchup.
Meanwhile, there was a CFL game last night, and it was the Tabbies going into Winnipeg and upsetting the Bombers.
Gittins Jr. shuffles down the line of scrimmage next to fellow Canadian Keandre Smith. That's where Mitchell goes. Smith dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Tiger Cats. And now he'll go back to the arm. Flips it underneath. Max Bang! Welcome to the CFL and welcome to the end zone, 82.
Yeah, Max Bang. First time I've ever heard of him. His first career touchdown last night. Keandre Smith got two touchdowns from Bo Levi Mitchell, who threw for three. Bo looks good. Outside of the pick six last week, that was the difference. Hamilton would be 2-0 right now, looking pretty darn good. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers fall to 1-1. It was a 37-27 win for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who had control for most of that game. The Tiger Cats will be taking on the BC Lions next week. The Bombers go on their first bye week. A little bit of a concern for Jamal Peters. It was a lengthy delay with a head injury. His head hit Tommy Neild, and down he went. So he was conscious. He was in good spirits as he went to a Winnipeg medical facility last night.
Sent out a tweet this morning, too, just saying, hey, I'm good. Thanks for all the well wishes. World Cup. We are watching the game right now. Canada underway in their first game of the World Cup in Toronto on home soil.
Bašić with the ball into the front post, and it's nodded in on the goal line. Bosnia with the opening goal of the game. Jovo Lukic in for the injured Edin Džeko makes his mark.
And we're into the second half. We'll keep an eye on that. Canada, obviously, down one goal to Bosnia in Toronto at the Toronto Stadium. We're not allowed to call it the other name because
I can call it whatever I want.
Okay. All right. For the first time in football history, Canada welcomes the world for a FIFA World Cup on home soil. Canada's second appearance. The last time they took part in the World Cup was 2022. So actually third time in the World Cup. And this is the first match in the World Cup featuring these two teams. So there we go.
This is aggravating. Canada's got so many.
They've had the ball. Like the
possession is clearly on Canada's side. Can anybody score? Like, seriously.
We're going to get one. Just hang in there. Be positive. Be positive, Nye.
This team does not have a quality player who can, you know, consistently get the ball to the back of the net. That's going to be an issue. So we'll keep watching.
We got this. I'm not giving up yet. Lots of time.
Soccer's dumb anyways. Let's talk about other sports.
It is a little. Well, anyway.
I'm off the soccer bandwagon if Canada loses this game. But maybe that's just being overly emotional. NBA game number 5 goes tomorrow. Oh, did that go in? Let's go to VAR. They need to go VAR. Meanwhile, NBA Finals, Game 5.
Box on the drive. Wembanyama puts up the jumper. Shot's good. Brunson steps back. Jump shot. Got it again. Brunson red hot here in the third quarter.
Yes, the New York Knicks could potentially end the NBA Finals and win their first championship since 1973. By the way, that was not a goal. It was a defensive play that went off the crossbar for the World Cup game as Canada nearly tied it up at 1. They've dominated the first 10 minutes of the second half, by the way. As you can tell, I'm emotionally engaged in this soccer match right now while trying to do a sports program. So you will know up to the second what is happening by my reaction.
Oh, no. Okay, that was...
No, it's fine. It's fine. Bosnia just about scored. Okay. Things are going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. We'll get through it together. Meanwhile, Drew Ahmed is coming up here on the program. He'll talk about that Stanley Cup final game last night. Britton Gray, Dave Naylor on, of course, the Canadian Football League. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders start tomorrow. And Lee Cormish, who I've already seen on the screen on TSN, is in the stadium. He's in the front row. And he's going to be joining us a little bit later on from Toronto, hopefully talking about a dramatic comeback victory for the Canadian side at the World Cup. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Friday. That means I'll request Friday. Send in your request, 1-877-332-8255. We'll continue to bring you up to date on Canada's first match. 30 minutes left in the game. As substitutions, the first substitutions being made for the Canadian side, trying to find some offense, down 1-0 to Bosnia-Herzegovina in their first match of this World Cup. What a scene it was earlier, though, the fan march.
That was pretty cool.
In Toronto.
Because we've talked about how Canada is going to respond to this tournament and what it means to Canada to get sort of a sense of the excitement revolving around the first time Canada has ever hosted a game in the World Cup was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was a huge scene.
Lee Cormish, who we have coming up, he's a World Cup super fan out of Saskatoon. He's at the game. You mentioned that you saw him already on TSN. He was actually posting videos on his social media as well from his hotel room going, wow, this is crazy. Like, Toronto's into this.
Yeah, it's good to see, but they'd be into it a lot more if it's the Canadian side up 1-0 and not Bosnia. But here we are. Canada needs a little bit of a comeback in the final 30 minutes of the match. Let's talk a little hockey, shall we? Last night's Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Game, of course, Drew Mendes is coming up after 3:05. But we talked about it after the game last night that it was the first game where from most of the game, it was one team dictating the play.
Yeah.
John Tortorella blames the two penalties back-to-back that lost momentum. Sure. But aside from that, still, second period, third period, the Carolina Hurricanes
were
relentless.
They figured out the Golden Knights.
I wouldn't say that yet.
They did last night.
They did last night. But you know, the Golden Knights will have 2 days now to go back to the drawing board and figure some things out. So I'm interested to see what we get on Sunday. Unfortunately, we have to wait till Sunday, 2 days between games now as they travel for game six. And if it goes to game seven, it's another 2 days off. But John Tortorella said it's ridiculous
to be talking
about. Stupidest question.
Yeah.
To ask him if they ever thought about putting Aiden Hill in net as Carter Hart is not playing well in this Stanley Cup final.
Oh, he's playing awful. This is Carolina. This is the Hurricanes. The biggest knock on the Hurricanes is they've never been able to get the offense that they've needed to go the distance. They don't have that star or a couple of star players that can continuously put the puck in the back of the net. And look at what they're doing. They've scored 20 goals in 5 games on Carter Hart. They don't even look like the Carolina Hurricanes. If you had told somebody that the Carolina Hurricanes were going to go in and potentially, if this goes 7 games, this could potentially be one of the highest scoring goal game or series in Stanley Cup final history in the NHL. And it's the Carolina Hurricanes, not the Edmonton Oilers, not the Colorado. No, the Carolina Hurricanes are doing this right now. It's crazy.
What, would you put Aiden Hill in net if you're John Tortorella for game 6?
No.
Haven't seen him at all in the playoffs?
No, because you want him to continue to see if he can add to his record.
See if he can make it 6 straight games?
Here's the thing.
Allowing 4 goals?
This is where Torts gets himself into trouble. He's an interesting character, but he's arrogant. And I don't think he does the right thing here. I think he thinks he needs to keep Carter Hart in. And, here's the other thing. I don't know if it's fair to Aiden Hill. I will say this. To defend Torts, if he does leave Carter Hart in there, I don't know if it's fair to put Aiden Hill in
an elimination game
in
as
the
his
Stanley
only
Cup
game.
Final. Right? Like, if he had taken a chance and put Aiden Hill in for that game last night, that would have made more sense, right? It also isn't completely out of the question to ask him whether or not he was thinking about pulling Aiden or pulling Carter Hart and putting Aiden Hill in the third period.
But that's John making it clear. And he doesn't want any noise about his goaltender going into game 6. And he knew that was the point when it was like, okay, I'm not going to add fuel by going, I was thinking about it. Because then it takes over. Now everybody knows where he stands on who his goaltender is for game 6. It's going to be Carter Hart. Should he have replaced him last night?
I hope he puts Carter Hart in.
The Hurricanes have gotten a little bit of a charge with Brandon Bussey in net for them.
USA, when I needed you, might have let you down, might have
Jamie and Locker with you on this Friday afternoon. Still 1-0 for Bosnia-Herzegovina against Canada in their first match of the World Cup. In Toronto, a little bit later on, Lee Cormish, Saskatchewan super fan, who's his attempt is to do all 16 stadiums in this World Cup. He's knocked two down. He was in Mexico yesterday for the opener. He's at Toronto Stadium right now for this game for Canada and Bosnia and Herzegovina.
I hope he's won a lottery at some point in his life. From what I'm hearing,
He's figured something out.
The cost of traveling to these games isn't just the cost of traveling to these games. I mean, they have inflated like everything from like
beer prices, everything is
hotel, like your transportation to and from the game, like shuttles are like $100 to get from downtown where you're staying to some of these stadiums and things like that. It's crazy. You got to have pretty deep pockets to be a World Cup fan.
So we'll have Lee Cormish. Yeah, we'll have him on to talk about this game, what he's experiencing from the fan march all the way to the stadium to how things are playing out with 15 minutes left. Canada needs a goal. But, of course, the Rough Riders, so they get their season started tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. Around 30,000 tickets are sold for the Riders and the BC Lions in a rematch of the West Final. Each and every week, Britton Gray brings you his feature this year titled Ride to a Repeat. And today he's focusing on the Sheriff. Yes, the 40-year-old quarterback is returning for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and might be playing some of his best football of his career.
Confident, poised, and a leader.
Smart, tough, passionate.
One of one. He's one of one for sure.
The GOAT.
Those are the words that Trevor Harris's teammates used to describe the veteran quarterback. But when you ask the Waldo, Ohio product about himself, he says his biggest trait is being the son of Tom and Suzanne Harris. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, my dad is a He owns a construction company, but he's got one employee, so he's basically, the owner, the worker, the founder, he does everything except for all the financial stuff. My mom does it for him, so he's blue collar as it gets. And my mom owns a dance studio which has about 500 or 600 kids, and to this day, she's the greatest human leader that I know, and because she just cares.
It's those traits he tries to emulate on the field.
I just want to be known as a very hard worker, somebody that loves their teammates and does everything they can for their teammates, and never leaves a stone unturned to see, how high you can raise the ceiling.
Wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson has seen what has made him become one of the best quarterbacks in the CFL.
A hard worker, you don't play till 40 for no reason, and that's why he's still around and still playing at a high level. And we have all the faith in him, I have all faith in him, and, he helps me continue to grow as a player every day.
And Sam Emelis has also seen the type of work Harris puts in.
Not a lot of quarterback can play at that age, but it don't even look like he's old, Or people call him old, but it don't even seem that way. And he got so many experience, every coverages, every defense. So it's so easy playing with him, and I enjoy playing with him.
Now entering another season at 40 years old, he's realizing there's another trait he shares with his dad.
They always ask my dad when he's going to retire, and the answer is he's never going to retire, even though he says 5 years. He said 5 years 15 years ago as well. So maybe that's where I get it from with my work ethic and my want to and the love of leadership. So.
While Harris has been in the CFL since 2012, he had one of his best seasons last year.
Hamilton 16, first trip to the red zone. Another trip to the end zone. Touchdown Saskatchewan, Joe Robustelli. And the third touchdown pass thrown by Trevor Harris today.
Harris with time, down the field, drops it in there, moves to the end zone. Touchdown Riders. Keyshawn Johnson's fourth of the year. And then the 200. In the career of
He, of course, capped it off with one of the most efficient Grey Cup performances of all time, setting a completion percentage record in the team's big win.
And Gray has just turned green and white. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Trevor Harris have won the Grey Cup.
The most valuable player of the 2025 Grey Cup game, the quarterback, Trevor Harris.
So what does he consider the best trade a quarterback could have?
True number one trade is the ability to surrender yourself and do what's best for your team and would at all costs be able to sacrifice whatever you can, rather be, you know, time, work ethic through film study, if it's your whatever it is, you know, you're sacrificing for the betterment of the team because you care about your teammates. And that's I feel like what I try and have my as my hallmark.
When he eventually does call it a career, he will have his name all over the CFL's history books. But that's not the impact he hopes to leave on the league.
I've been on record saying stats are for losers. I'm not saying that in that way. I just don't really concern myself too much with it. People don't remember what you did. They remember how you made them feel. And I think that's the most important thing is how you treat other people. And me being a child of God and, you know, Jesus Christ being my Lord and Savior, I'm told to love God and love others. And that's what I try and do at the most core of who I am. And so if I can do that, I feel like everything else will take care of itself. So the stats take care of themselves. The wins take care of themselves. Just focus on the process and what kind of a person and what kind of a team we're becoming and I'm becoming as a person, obviously. And I feel like everything kind of falls into place from there.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
A great look at the sheriff at 40, Trevor Harris from Britton Gray. Of course, the Green Zone pregame show tomorrow, 3 o'clock ahead of the 5 o'clock kickoff. By the way, when you hear that sound when there's a Canadian game going on, that means Canada has scored, and Kyle Larin has even the score 1-1. That was about the 78th minute as Canada now tries to take the lead late against Bosnia and Herzegovina. So Kyle Larin, the first Canadian to ever score on home soil in a World Cup. And it's 1-1 for Canada with about 10 minutes left in this match. See, Locker, they're showing you what offside is.
Yeah, now. They're teaching the game.
That's where that second defender was when Kyle Larin touched the ball. It doesn't matter that Ahmed was offside because he didn't touch the ball. But that.
Okay, that's a distinction. I should know that. So you can be offside as long as you don't touch the ball.
Yeah, just don't touch the ball.
Move offside once the ball leaves the foot of the defender or whoever kicks it.
Whoever kicks it forward. Right when that ball's kicked and off the foot, that is when you can go beyond that second to last defender.
This may seem odd, but I like legitimately have never really paid much attention to soccer.
I'm not surprised. You're probably among most of our listening audience who on the World Cup every once in a while they hear Canada's got a big match. Like this one. Again, 1-1 Canada.
I watched the women play, you know.
Oh, remember that? Were you watching that game against the United States?
Edmonton.
You know, it's just
Yeah, for sure.
We'll keep you up to date as we continue here on the Green Zone. But it's prediction time here on the Green Zone for the Rough Riders and the BC Lions tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. How do you think it's going to go down for the Riders against the BC Lions in a rematch of the West Final? As if you've been listening to the Evan Bray Show or Saskatchewan Afternoon, you probably know where I sit. I think a few members of the team know what I've said, too, judging by they're joking when they give me the side eye at practice and walk through today.
I don't know about that.
They understand. I have to call it as I see it. And I have the BC Lions winning 31-21 against the Riders tomorrow.
Did you just steal my score?
No, I said it.
I have 31-21 Riders.
So we have the same score, but the different team winning.
I swear, that's what I came in here with today. I was like, he's looking at my paper.
No, you can check the tape on the Evan Bray Show this morning. That was 31-21.
You're not messing with me?
No, I'm not. I thought you wrote down my score.
No, that's my score.
We should do. Hey, Scotty. You want to hit the Friday face-off intro here, bud?
Let's get ready.
That's weird.
Y'all ready for this? Going head to head. Those guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
Whose side are you on? This is Face Off.
So we have the same score, but the different team winning 31-21.
I thought you were messing with me.
I have the Lions. You have the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So you think the Riders are going to carry that momentum in from the championship banner raising?
Yes, it's a banner raising. They won the Grey Cup. They're well rested. Harris is on a mission. He wants to shut everyone up, including me. He calls him old as dirt. He's going to go out there and he's going to kick some young Nathan Rourke butt.
And I hear you, and that first
home
drive
crowd, it's going to be sold out. Like, I'm telling you,
the first drive of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in that preseason game, it was impressive. It was humming down the field, and then they benched them. They're like, that's enough, that's good. And now it's been a minute, but I can't ignore how deep the scar tissue has to be for the BC Lions to come into Mosaic Stadium after what happened last year in the West Final. And then seeing the rings online and seeing the banner raising when they're in the house and the game's about to begin. And they look at that thing and said, we were that close to having that ours. Let's make a statement right here, right now, in the place our season ended, and a little bit of redemption for the BC Lions. I think that hunger, especially with Nathan Rourke and Keon Hatcher and James Butler in that offense, will expose a little bit of the Riders' defensive changes that they're still trying, especially in that front seven, trying to gel and figure things out. That's why I am leaning towards the BC Lions.
I have a messy first quarter. I have a second quarter where Harris starts to get some time and some room. And then I've got a third quarter where they put some points up, both teams. Mm-hmm. And then I got a fourth quarter where the Riders lock it down.
1-877-332-8255. Whose side are you on? Riders, Lions, tomorrow. Who's winning? What's your score? Or do you also have 31-21? Are we all predicting 31-21 for the Riders and the BC Lions tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium?
If one of us is right, I'm going to. Anyway,
if it actually is 31-21, if it is, somebody's going to be right.
That's crazy.
You'll hear all about it on Monday or the Green Zone postgame show, of course, if it's me. Coming up next, some Sid the Kid history on this, like when he was actually a kid, on this day in sports on 980 CJME and 650 CKO. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Well, let's get to the fan line. Greg in Saskatoon, your prediction for tomorrow's opener of the 2026 season.
Well, you know what? I think the Riders are going to win. Not by a big margin, 27-21. I think that's a fair assessment. I just want to say one thing, though, to my buddy out there. I call him Bubba, but his name's Adam. He's a big farm boy type guy. People are expecting to hear me on your show now because I call in, and I haven't called in much lately, and I've been getting here. So
there you go.
Give a shout out. But yeah, 27.
Yeah, get it together, Greg. Call more often. What's going on here?
Well, you guys don't give me reason to call. This is a good reason to call.
There you go. The Riders beating the Lions 27-21. Bob, what do you think?
Well, Jamie, you know, I don't like you betting against me here in my song. And you know what the good thing was is that, Jamie, every time you bet on somebody winning, they lose, as in the Toronto Maple Leafs getting the first pick, et cetera, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to do a George Reed for Saskatchewan and a Ron Lancaster for BC.
34-23, the Riders will beat the BC Lions. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Okay, so we got two for the Riders. Wayne, where are you going for tomorrow's game?
Well, I do believe that they have a few too many holes from all the guys who left. And I think BC is going to be riled up, so it's going to be BC over the Riders by I'd say 32-14.
Oh. Crowd's leaving early on that one. 32-14.
I think the Riders are going to be pretty wound up because of the banner raising.
We'll see how it plays out tomorrow. I can't wait. It's like Britton looked at me and said, it feels like we've been previewing this game for 3 weeks. Kind of feels that
way.
By the way, real quick, this day in sports history.
Max Talbot, there he is again, forechecking, right in on Brad Stewart, who stayed with the puck, turned it over, score! Max Talbot! Here's a 2-on-1, Talbot with Kennedy, Talbot shoots, he scores! Scramble draw comes to the point, Rafalski shoots, knocked down in a mad scramble, Lidstrom shoots it, a tremendous save by Fleury, they've done it, the Penguins have done it, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins have won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, 21-year-old at the time, Sidney Crosby gets his first Stanley Cup against the Detroit Red Wings on this day in 2009.